Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. In today's reading, Jeremiah brings a terrible charge against the people of Israel, that they have forsaken Yahweh their God and followed after Baal, which for those who have followed the story of the people of Israel is really nothing new. But it's fascinating how this comes to be. As we look at what the prophet cites, what God talks about to his people, it's not as if there is this moment of sudden apostasy wherein they say, you know what, we are done with Yahweh, we are done with his faithfulness, we are done with all of the things that he's given us, and instead we will chase after Baal. And in fact, it's rare, if ever, in the scriptures where it's quite that cut and dried. And it's not even that there's this series of hard questions that they ask, and after time and after a lot of struggle, they finally give up on faith. And in fact, one of the things that God accuses them of is not asking the hard questions. They did not say, "Where is the Lord who brought us out of Egypt?" The priest did not ask, "Where is the Lord?" No faith in Yahweh. Well, it's like they just forget. But you know, we know what that's like. I mean, we've seen it lived out. We know those people who just fade away, who don't burn out in apostasy, who don't ever really renounce their faith, but who just become so concerned with the things of this world or the things and the concerns of this life that they lose sight of the gospel and of eternal things. They forget to remember their baptism. They forget to gather around Christ's body broken, his blood poured out for us. They forget the word itself. Faith so often doesn't burn out. It simply fades away. And you know, it's tempting for us to think here in the seminary community that we're somehow immune to that. That by virtue of our studies to become pastors and deaconesses and to serve in the church, by virtue of gathering in chapel, by virtue of spending time in class and all of the many things that we do, that there's this insulation that keeps that from happening. But the reality is that it becomes so much more subtle. And I think we've all perhaps seen that lived out, or at least know where it has. The BBC just announced their newest religion correspondent. The head of all of their coverage of religion was herself an atheist. She has a PhD in religion, has learned all about what the various churches and religions throughout the world believe. And at the end of all knowledge, she finds she has faith in nothing at all. Did you know that's the reality? Because it's so easy to forget. When you've been given a new name, when you've been given a new identity, a new home, a new way of life, it's so easy to forget and to go back to the old ways. And over the last year or so, I've learned so much about what that looks like and what it means. As my wife and I are in the process of adopting a wonderful young lady. She's 8 years old, and for the first 6 months, we really dealt with all kinds of things that were really foreign to us. For example, she lived in perpetual fear that because she was secure and because she was happy and because she had a home, that meant that at any given moment, the knock would come at the door and the caseworker or the police would be there to take her away from that. And so as we dealt with that anxiety, we sat down night after night, and finally it developed into a sort of ritual, really, where I would ask her night after night, "So when is it that they're going to take you away from us?" And she would think for a moment and respond in as serious a voice as an 8-year-old can manage, "Never, ever, ever." And I would ask her again, so when are they going to take you away? And she would say, never, ever, ever. We had to deal with this anxiety when Cammy would leave the house, because in her world, when mom leaves, that's sometimes a permanent thing. So we'd ask, you know, what happens when mom leaves? And she'd reply, well, she always comes back. What happens when mom leaves? Well, she always comes back. And week after week, we would repeat these things, and month after month. And I finally realized after a few months what we were doing. We were teaching her creeds. We were teaching her statements of a new reality that she doesn't yet fully understand. A new reality of what it is that we believe, what it is that we live in the midst of, so that she wouldn't forget, so that she wouldn't go back to those old ways, those old patterns, those old anxieties and fear. And the same is so true in the church, that week after week after week, we gather together day after day to hear the gospel of Christ, because the reality is that if we don't, then we forget. A friend of mine, when he graduated from seminary, really was surprised by a great many things, but one of them was that, you know, he expressed it to me. We were sitting down having a drink one night, and he said, you know, I expected that when I went into the bar, I would have to share the gospel. And that when I went into the tattoo parlor, that I would have to share the gospel. But I didn't expect when I went into the church that I would have to share the gospel with my members. And of course you do, because week after week we need to hear it, because the reality is that we're going to finish up chapel today, and I'm going to go back to my office, and I'm going to start working like somehow my value depends on what I do or how I perform, and I'm going to start forgetting what this story's really about. And it may be that in the midst of Lent, in the midst of the busyness of your field work, the midst of spring quarter with vicarage and placement and everything that goes into the busyness of this time of year, it may be that you're struggling to remember. Let me tell you how that story begins. I think you know. It begins with a people who are broken. It begins with a people who are sinful, who every day we wake up and this time we're going to get it right. And sometimes that even lasts for, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds. It's impressive. And yet we find that we're still sinful and we're still broken. And it doesn't matter how often we renew ourselves, that we just can't do it. And yet there is the rest of the story, and you mustn't forget how it ends. That it ends in a cross. That it ends in a God willing to send his Son, not because we were able enough or worthy enough or because we performed well enough, but because he was good. Because he is loving, because he is gracious, and because he is faithful. And so it ends in a cross, and it ends in an empty tomb. His death, his resurrection, our death buried with him in baptism, our resurrection raised to new life with him. And as we go forth, we remember that we are God's beloved children, that you are God's precious daughter, his beloved son, and that nothing, nothing can ever change that. Never, ever, ever. Amen.